If you like playing in the field of possibilities and getting your information from those who really know, Conversation at the Cutting Edge is your kind of program. Host Sandy Sedgebeer speaks with teachers, speakers, scientists, and authors that are shifting perceptions about who we are and what we're capable of. Get ready to expand your awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Here's Sandy.
Hello, and welcome to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm your host, Sandy Sedgebeer, and tonight we're going to pick up the conversation where we left off last week with my guest, Shasta Townsend, author of the international Amazon bestseller, Happy, Sexy, Shameless, What Our Mothers Didn't Know About the Birds and the Bees, which boldly confronts the so-called sacred cows of sexuality and sexually appropriate behavior. In addition to teaching intimacy and sexuality retreats and workshops around the world, Shasta Townsend shares her passion for living well as a featured columnist at Elephant Journal, The Good Men Project, The Bell Society, and here at Vivid Life. Shasta Townsend, welcome back.
Thank you, Sandy. I look forward to our conversation. It was so great last time.
I really enjoyed it. Shasta, your book, Happy, Sexy, Shameless, draws from your own experiences in the bedroom, interactions with students in your workshops, as well as solid academic research. You interviewed many women and also some men, I'm glad to see, because too often books about female sexuality ignore the men. One of the things that emerged from the men is something that a lot of women don't give much credence to, and that is that men want presence, intimacy, and connection too. So tell us a little bit about why we need to look at men in new ways and why it matters.
It's interesting because doing the research and even the interviews for this book, I actually was confronted with my own biases. Even though my husband was really the one who helped me heal a lot of past trauma and just plain out worn beliefs and step into a new level of intimacy empowerment, I think that I had never sort of acknowledged the depth of that. And a lot of the women that I interviewed in the book spoke about experiences with men that actually were the catalyst for them to feel and experience new levels of satisfaction, of beauty, of empowerment, and just plain out good sex and sexuality, that is often left out of the conversation, as you said. And I think that where we're headed as women and as culture and even as sort of this post-feminist society is men do need to be a part of the conversation, and I believe they yearn to be a part of the conversation. I think that men, and certainly that I'm graced with amazing men in my life, and I see that they long for intimacy, they long for connection, they long to feel worthy, and they long to feel that they're a part of what's unfolding in a positive level for women, that the time to see men as opposites is over and done with, and instead to embrace men as our complementary contrast, but also our brothers, our lovers, and our partners in this unfolding. And the beauty and the power of that is amazing, and one that I think the time, as I said, is very much here to invite men into the conversation. And from what I see, they are not only already a part of it, but want to be a part of it at an even deeper level.
You know, it made me really happy to read that, because back in the 90s, I wrote a book that was a bestseller in England called Sex, Lies, and Love, How to Understand the Opposite Sex. And I interviewed a lot of men for that book too, as well as women. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that saddened me was how many men were turning off relationships because they didn't know anymore what women expected from them, and they couldn't really talk to women. And this was about the time that I and John and all the men's groups started. And it sounds as though the men are able to speak more openly about their feelings and their needs now.
I think that there's an interesting unfolding, that there seems to be this shift, certainly in sort of human consciousness and thinking, where we really are talking about intimacy, we're talking about vulnerability, and just the languaging around emotion, I believe, has changed. And although I think there are still these very pervasive archetypes of women as these overly emotional, sensitive beings, and men as these sort of shut down, non-emotional beings, that we know that that's not true. I think that really both men and women have the understanding that all of this sort of women are from one planet and men from another is not true. And we're not buying the story anymore. And where can we find the common ground? And I think that I'm so happy because there are so many positive media outlets like Vivid Life and others who are sharing very real, transparent stories and giving people an opportunity to understand that, of course, they have these experiences. And of course, this is, you know, part of the cultural conversation. And not only that, but a part of the conversation that needs to happen within, you know, your own relationship and in the bedroom. And that the understanding of, I think, the way that we connect with each other and the way it results in good sexuality and good sex is at least more pervasive. There's still work to be done, but I do see that shift. And, you know, just really quickly, too, I was really delighted with a lot of the men that I spoke to. And I didn't speak to men that were necessarily doing a lot of spiritual work. I spoke to some men in that realm, but I spoke to other men who, you know, they're just these wonderful, regular guys living wonderful, regular lives. And their level of understanding about their desire to be a good man and to be a good partner was really delightful, and their desire to even heal some of their own stories and trauma and just, you know, bad decisions and maybe not so great actions that they had done in the past. There was a longing to step into a mature relationship and one with a woman who could also hold space for them. So I think that really was delightful and wonderful to see.
Do you think that, you know, before we can learn to create a loving, powerful, respectful relationship with our partners, women really have to learn about expressing sexuality on their own terms and heal all of their trauma? Or do you think they could heal that in a loving and respectful relationship?
It is it's a great question, and one that I actually do receive quite frequently from people, and part of that also is, can I actually do this work when I'm in a relationship? And the answer is yes. However, I think that as individuals, both as women and men, that we certainly need to be in a relationship with ourselves first and foremost. And I know we hear this all the time, but to really decide what is meaningful for you and to really decide what it feels like to be in your own beingness, so to speak, and to be in your own body. And I think, unfortunately, the way that love and relationships are presented in our world is the sort of you complete me attitude. And so we go seeking a partner or a lover with the hope that they will do just that, that they will complete us. And there's absolutely no way that any other person can complete you. There's absolutely no way that any other person can create your happiness for you. If we approach this as I'm on the path of healing, I'm a whole being as I am, I'm happy, and I'm even working with some of the experiences, trauma, beliefs, and I want someone to assist me to enhance my journey, to enhance my happiness, and to meet me in this place of healing, then relationships are very powerful and very wonderful ways to do that. I'm always just cautious that a lot of times the way we approach relationships is two damaged people looking to, in many ways, continue that damaged journey, which was my experience before, you know, I sort of met my husband. And before I met him, I did a lot of work to say, I can't keep repeating the patterns in my relationships and myself. And I stepped into wanting to heal. And in that place, I attracted somebody who was in the same sort of headspace. So can you do this work in a relationship? Of course you can. But I think we need to be mindful that it's a relationship that helps you do that, and not a relationship that's either a distraction, an avoidance pattern, or an enhancement of the negative patterns that are happening. And it is possible. And those guys and those women, they are out there. And if that's what you want, then I think you need to really hold to that and call that in. And the other aspect of this, which, you know, I know because I can hear listeners saying, well, I'm already in a relationship and he or she isn't quite getting this, is even in my marriage, you know, my husband has always been very supportive, but there was a time where I really had to express to him, I am working through some sexual trauma, and I am working with some stories that are really hard for me, and I need to take a break, and I need to take a break from intimacy, and or I need to shift our relationship in certain ways, and are you willing to do that with me? And so there is an aspect, and I know that it can be challenging, but we have to communicate with our partner on where we're at and what we need, and ask them and invite them really to support you in that, but also to meet you in that place. And when that happens, I mean, the relationship can be just so beautiful.
Of all the things that both genders revealed to you, what surprised you the most?
I think that really what surprised me the most was there is a real longing. There is a real longing in both men and women, you know, as we touched on a little bit earlier, to experience wholeness and to experience goodness and to experience freedom. And I think that there is a longing of women and men, regardless of sexuality, meaning gay, straight, bi, what a transgender, whatever it is, there is a longing for us to reunite again as men and women and to have an experience in this world that is heaven on earth. And I think people are ready for that, and they're looking for some guidance, and they're looking for permission in many ways. And, you know, I hope that in any small way this book can offer people that. But it was the real longing that surprised me.
You're listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, and I'm here with Shasta Townsend, author of Happy, Sexy, Shameless, who's telling us why so many women today still feel so much shame around sex and how we can change that. After the break, we'll be discussing how to address the 5 most common concerns that arise in intimate relationships. We'll be back in a few moments, so don't go away.
What does your vivid life look like? What does it feel like to be living a vivid life every single day? How do you start? What is the first step for you personally to finally make the shift you have been seeking? Find out right now by connecting with us on Facebook and on Twitter. My Vivid Life. Well, it's a state of being, complete well-being. Get there today with daily inspiration right to your inbox.
You cannot separate who you are and what you do from how you interact with the world. Marketing was never meant to be slick and soulless. If you're looking to build your personal or business profile and platform and connect with the audience that resonates with you and your message, visit www.sandysedgebeer.com and discover what 30-plus years of applying the science of resonance in international publishing, marketing, and conscious business development can do.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams filled with joy and abundance? Imagine surrounding yourself with the world's top spiritual teachers and visionaries that will teach you their secrets to living a successful, healthy, and joyful life. Join Iyanla Van Zandt, Caroline Mace, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and over 20 more life-changing best-selling authors at this year's Celebrate Your Life Chicago event. Visit celebrateyourlife.org for more information. That's celebrateyourlife.org. And reserve your seat now. That's celebrateyourlife.org.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me, that's vividlife.me, for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.
Welcome back to Conversation at the Cutting Edge. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, and I'm speaking with Shasta Townsend, author of the international bestseller Happy, Sexy, Shameless, What Our Mothers Don't Know About the Birds and the Bees. Shasta, you have done women a huge favor with your section on how to address the 5 most common concerns that arise in intimate relationships, because I think one of the hardest things to do is to find the words. You know, how do we broach some of those topics that cause so many challenges. So I'd like to run through those five things that you've written about what we want our lovers to know about sex.
Sure, great. Thank you for that.
But so let's start with the sex all the time talk.
Okay. Well, this is what I see a lot of times women say to me is that there's a feeling that they need to have sex all the time and that their partner wants to have sex all the time. And that pressure, that overt pressure from a lover to have sex more often and all the time, not only is in a measure of the success of a relationship, which is not true, but it often shuts women down. That women, when we feel sort of hunted, that's not a good turn on, guys. That's totally the opposite. And so in the book, I talk about ways of letting your partner know that you certainly are wanting them, hopefully, and want to have sex with them, but it's not all the time, and that sex all the time isn't a measure of a great relationship. We need to be careful of that one.
Yeah, and you know, as you point out, that the desire for more frequent sex often comes from something even deeper, that, you know, men aren't trained to express their needs and their emotions, and if they just want a hug. And, you know, for them, sometimes the only way they can express that is in a way that makes women think that they just want sex.
I agree, absolutely. How do I create intimacy? You know, which is sort of this next one, which is it's not just about sex, is that communicating to your partner that, you know, to be blunt, your next orgasm starts at the end of the last one, which is the whole sense of connection, intimacy, well-being of my relationship overall is what is going to create the connection that leads often to great sexuality, and to express to your partner that it's really just not about sex, that it really is so much more. And I think that men feel that too, that it really is trust, intimacy, relationship that have to be a part of this, taking time to truly be present to each other, not just the 5-minute quickie, although those can be fun too, but really the idea of the fullness of a relationship. And as you said, creating actually the expectation, particularly for men, that an expression of intimacy and connection is not necessarily, the full-on sexual act. There are other aspects of this relationship as well that are very important.
I love you, right? I need you to know, which is a wonderful paragraph that women can learn by heart if they cannot speak their feelings in any other way. And I don't know if you have the book there with you. If not, I'll read it. You say, I do want to have sex with you, just not every hour of every day. So please don't count the hours or days since we last had sex as a record of rejection. In fact, stop counting them at all. This makes me feel pressured, and pressure is not a turn-on. Great sex to me is not only equated to sex all the time, but to the depth of the connection. I mean, you've chosen those words so thoughtfully, and they're so beautiful. And, you know, if a woman does have to learn them by rote in order to express it, I think it's a beautiful way to do so.
Thank you.
So let's talk about number two. It's not just about sex talk.
Yeah, this, as I said, you know, is, and don't get me wrong, I think there are different types of sex. There's sex where sometimes you do just want someone to grab you and throw you on the table kind of thing. But this is the idea again, as women and men, as I said, this longing for connection and expressing to our lover that great sex really does follow on the heels of connection and intimacy, and that the full expression of that comes outside of the bedroom. It comes from being present to each other and wanting to be close to each other, and also taking responsibility, both partners taking responsibility for their sort of stuff that they have around sexuality, trust, intimacy, so that you really can be close to somebody, that you really can be transparent, seen, held, and to hold another. And that does matter, actually. That really does matter in an intimate relationship. It's not just sexuality. It's the ability to truly hold each other and feel connected.
And what about the I know you think I'm beautiful talk?
This one is really interesting because a lot of the women that I interviewed and myself also, you know, I'm always very careful of buying into these sort of like gender differences of men can have sex with just purely physical and women need this sort of emotional connection, because I know that I certainly have had great just pure physical sex. But what happens, I think, and what I was talking about here and how to express this certainly to our lover is that I know that you may think I'm beautiful and attractive and you want to have sex with me right now, but if I'm not feeling that way in myself and if I'm not feeling happy, sexy, and shameless, I'm not going to feel turned on. And I don't necessarily want to have sex when I am feeling bloated or crampy or sick. So please understand that it's not about how you see me, it's actually about how I see myself, which also means for women our responsibility, I think, is to actually really take care of ourselves and to say, what can I do to feel good in my skin and what can I do to feel good about where I am, but to also know that we always have choices and that it's wonderful to be with somebody who thinks you're beautiful all the time, but part of this expression is you don't feel like having sex, then you don't have it, and that's that we need to be clear on that.
And what about number four, men only want sex and women only want romance?
This one sort of drives me a little crazy, and it's interesting because I see even in the world of couples counseling and sexual empowerment and, you know, some of even the relationship sort of gurus out there, we still have this paradigm that men really are the hungry sexual beings and that women don't want sex, that we really are only looking for romance and connection. And I have to say that I think it's BS. And it's very damaging to both genders. There's times where I just want sex, and there's times where I want romance, and it's the same with my husband. And I think it's very damaging in our overall society when we put men out there as these sexual predators. Are there sexual predators in the world? Of course there are. But are 99% of the male population sexual predators? Of course not. And the idea that men only want sex is very damaging. And it does not give them, and as you said, Sandy, it does not give them the permission to express themselves, to express intimacy, to express desire in ways that are actually meaningful. And men are longing for that just as much. And again, it casts this role that when women do express sexuality, we do express sexual desire and longing, we're sort of these crazy sex-starved nymphomaniacs. And it's just so not true, and it's so natural that both women and men, of course, want great physical sexual experiences, but also want great romantic connection and love. And we got to get past this. I'm so tired of this, these gender roles that are just not serving either genders.
I agree with you. And what about number five? I mean, this is a hard, you know, conversation for women to have, and you've titled it "When You Are a Jerk," and I don't have sex with jerks talk.
It's really interesting because this one is, it puts a lot of responsibility really on both partners, but particularly the partner that you're speaking to take ownership of their emotional and social, so to speak, energy. And, you know, I think about when do I feel the most turned on by my husband? And of course, we all have tantrums and meltdowns, but it's when I really see the best of him coming forward. And I'm not interested in having, you know, sex with you when you're being a jerk. And this sort of idea of makeup sex, hey, if that works for you, that's great, but it doesn't work for me. And I don't think it works in a long-term relationship in the sense that yes, we need to forgive each other, and yes, we need to move on, but this is really a conversation that calls for both of us, but particularly the partner that you're speaking to take responsibility for aspects that are damaging, really, to sexuality and damaging to your relationship. And for me, I saw that, you know, in my own marriage, my husband's a wonderful man, but there was moments where anger and frustration were shutting down the relationship and shutting me down. And I don't want to have sex with you. And I think it's good to remember again that, you know, the next orgasm sort of speaks sort of starts at the last one, and what happens and how we interact and how we offer the best to each other in our relationships really do matter. And a lot of times I see couples and even in our society this sort of idea that we usually treat our partner the worst. And we need to, I think, take accountability for that and, again, work on ourselves so that we can bring the best of ourselves forward and offer the space for another person to really step into their to their best self.
Well, I opened the first part one of this conversation with the word bravo, and I will close it with bravo because I think you're doing a great, great service to women and to men. Thank you, Shasta. Before we go, can you tell us where can our listeners get more information about you?
Absolutely. Thank you again for having me, Sandy, and thanks for listening, everybody. For more information on myself and a lot of free offerings and some workshops and events that will be coming up, you can go to ShastaTownsend.com, and there's also a little excerpt on the book so you can read the intro, and hopefully I'll meet you all in person soon. So ShastaTownsend.com.
And a portion of the sales of your book goes to organizations dedicated to stopping the sexual slavery of women and children. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Sexual slavery is actually one of the fastest growing crimes worldwide. And I think not only is it ridiculous, it's absolutely disgusting and unacceptable. And if we talk about sexual freedom, it needs to be sexual freedom for everyone, everywhere.
Shasta Townsend, thank you for being with us today. Thank you for writing this book. It deserves to be in every person's hands.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandy. And thank you for the work you do in the world, too. It's beautiful.
Bye-bye, Shasta. Happy, Sexy, and Shameless, What Our Mothers Didn't Know About the Birds and the Bees is available from Amazon stores worldwide. That brings us to the end of this week's show. The theme tune for this show is from an original song called Searching by Grammy Award-winning producer, composer, and musician Barry Goldstein. I'm Sandy Sedgbeer. Thanks for joining me today. And for more thought-provoking and inspiring conversations, check out our live schedule and our archives at vividlife.me.
Thank you for listening to Conversation at the Cutting Edge, where scientists, researchers, authors, and teachers working at the leading edge meet. For conversations that aim to shift your perceptions about who you are, why you're here, and what you can achieve when you open your mind, expand your awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. Join us next week, same time, with your host, Sandy Sedgbeer, for another conversation at the Cutting Edge.
Are you ready to create the life of your dreams filled with joy and abundance? Imagine surrounding yourself with the world's top spiritual teachers and visionaries that will teach you their secrets to living a successful, healthy, and joyful life. Join Iyanla Van Zandt, Caroline Mace, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and over 20 more life-changing best-selling authors at this year's Celebrate Your Life Chicago event. Visit CelebrateYourLife.org for more information. That's CelebrateYourLife.org. And reserve your seat now. That's CelebrateYourLife.org.
Vivid Life Radio connects you with the most current, optimistic, and inspiring information on the planet. Get ready to open your mind, heal your heart, and start living your ultimate life. Go to vividlife.me, that's vividlife.me, for more details on our upcoming broadcast with the world's brightest minds sharing wisdom to uplift your spirit.